We had a bit of an issue with regard to the language that's employed by the Rush, and the Rabbeinu Yonah describing the other position. And it seems to be like Tosis, because they're saying that even though they were on Kaveh together, as long as they ate together, but they do use the expression Shesaimu, that they concluded together. And to me, that does not seem to be identical with what Tosis is saying in explanation of the second Mishnah, that is, Shlosha Sha'achlu Ka'achad Ein Rashayin L'chalek. What they are saying is in contradistinction to the position that maintains that you have to have kviyas at the very outset. That's position A. Position B is saying you don't require kviyas at the very outset, but kviyas can be constructed after the fact, so to speak. Nikva'u, that they, even though one person started eating before the other person, but the other person then joined them, and as the Rabbeinu Yonah explains that position, the achila is koveya them. The achila kavaz osam. And he does say shesaimu. The reason why they say that is because they agree that when the person joins, he joins for the sake of remaining together for the rest of the meal. It's not that he just came and went. The only difference is that he wasn't there from the very outset with that intention. The meal had been started and then he joined, but when he joined with the intention of being there for the rest of the meal. That's why they concluded together. So I don't think that's what Tosis is saying. That's what I was trying to explain. I didn't really have it that clear till after the shiur, that's why they mean that. Shagamru. That is to say that no one's going to make a case over here if they came and went. If they came and went, so there's nothing to talk about. That's not Shlosha Sha'achlu Ka'achad. So what they're saying is that they came after the fact, after the meal was established, and then they were nikvu. But when they were nikvu for the rest of the meal. They stayed, shesaimu. So that's reflects the fact that they were kavua. And that is what the Rush would say qualifies as shlosha sha'achlu ki'achat chayav nozami. That's the machlokus between the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush, which we explained. Tosfos, however, we have to ask ourselves the question, is Tosfos saying one of those positions or is Tosfos saying something different? Tosis is trying to resolve the difference between the two Mishnayos. Our case of Shlosha Shiachlu Kiyachad Chayavin Lazamein, and the second Mishnah is Shlosha Shiachlu Kiyachas Ein Rashayin L'chalek. And he's basing himself on the Yerushalmi and different interpretations, but the cryptic language, one is talking about L'chatchila and one is B'self. And Tosfos explains that to mean that there are two situations. One is Tchila. Tchila is where Chayavin Lazamein, and that is the language that's employed in our Mishnah, where three got together at the outset to eat together. It would seem thus that Tosfos agrees with regard to our Mishnah, like the Rabbeinu Yonah. The other Mishnah of Ein Rashayin L'chalek is where they did not come together at the outset, but sort of came together in the course of eating, haphazardly, so to speak. And there you cannot say Chayavin Lazamein. However, you can't say Ein Rashayin L'chalek, but that is where they concluded together. When they concluded the meal together, then it's Ein Rashayin L'chalek, but there is no such obligation to actually do that. There is no obligation to conclude the meal together. That's a situation that we all encounter. You know, you go to eat in a cafeteria or a pizza shop, and you sit down. Then a friend comes in. He may join you. Then a third person may come in. There you have a scenario of what Tosis is describing. Do you have a right to bench and leave, or must you wait? The Tosis is saying that in that situation, you can bench. You're not bound to wait for the others, except if everybody finished together. If you finish together, then you can't split. Then you have to bench together. That's what Tosis is saying. Before you finished together, it's not appropriate, according to Tosis, to speak about Rishus Lazamein or Rishus to bench separately. According to Tosis, it's up to you, the individual. If you have to go, you want to bench, you can bench. So you don't have to do anything. However, if you did not, and if you stayed, and if you remained until you all finished together, then you have a chiyuv. Now, in the middle of the meal, if you pause, you're finished, or you can't, you're almost finished. Let's put it this way. And you start to think it over, well, I can finish and bench now, or I can finish with them and I'll bench with Zeman. That's a choice, whatever you want to do.
Right, but you have the...
Halachically speaking, you don't have to do anything at this point. You have a right to bench and leave. There's nothing there. I don't think it's equivalent to an issue of tefillah b'tzibur, that if you wait around, it'll be a tzibur. If you daven now, you'll be davening b'yechidah. So there's an ideal to consider, because tefillah b'tzibur is superior to tefillah b'yachid. It's a question whether you're mechuyev in tefillah b'tzibur, mechuyev in every tefillah b'tzibur, or whether it's only on occasion, whatever. But that's clearly, everybody recognizes, it's the higher level of tefillah. Here, I don't think that anyone's mechuyev to stick around just so he'll partake of a zimun. Different issue. Another clarification. All that we know about Rabbeinu Yonah, who sets a very high benchmark for the chiyuv zimun, is that he sets a very high standard for chiyuv zimun. But that's only for chiyuv zimun. He's not saying that if they weren't kavua together at the outset, if they joined, and so on and so forth, he's not saying they can't have zimun. That's a different issue. Because you see that the situation becomes very, very lenient. Three people in the same restaurant that could see each other and so forth. So that's something else. If three people are benching together, so they can do Zeman. We're not really talking about that now, when you can do Zeman. That'll come up later. We're talking about the Chiyuv. And that's clear. That's made clear by Tosis's treatment of the two Mishnayos, that over here, our Mishnah is Chiyuv. That the Chiyuv is chal upon them at the outset. And since the Chiyuv is chal upon them at the outset, that's a big chiddush. And the very kfiyus of the Suda carries with it a Chiyuv Zimun. However, you can't say that if there was no such a kfiyus, if they just came together separately. But he says, even in that situation, something can happen to create a Chiyuv Zimun. And that's what's referred to as Ein Rashoy and Lachalik, to differentiate it from our situation. And that is if they finish the meal together. So let's see if we can understand that. What's that idea? To formulate the question, it would be formulated this way. If this is the type of situation in which there's no chiyuv, because no kviyas of shlosha has been established, which is the condition, and they're eating the meal, and as long as they're eating the meal, each person is free and independent, can bench separately and leave. So what happens at the end of the meal? Well, how is a chiyuv created at that particular point in time? Either you're free or you're bound. It should be one or the other. This is a little bit ambivalent, because you're already saying that this is the kind of meal that doesn't engender a chiyuv. So if it's the kind of a meal that doesn't engender a chiyuv, so then, therefore, you're free to bench independently. So what difference does it make if you happen to finish together? Well, how does that create a chiyuv? That's the way the question should be formulated. Once again, I'm going to repeat it because some people didn't get what I was saying. It's very important to use the correct methodology. You're analyzing this Tosfos. So you have to set up the problem. What is the problem? The problem is that we need to understand this concept of Ein Rashoy and Lachalik. It doesn't seem to flow smoothly. Because you're saying that in this situation, where they weren't koveya together, there's no chiyuv zimun. So therefore, as long as the meal is going on, each person is free to bench by himself. So, Mamanushach, if that's a meal in which there's no chiyuv of zimun, and each person is free, so why should it matter that they happen to finish together? How does the fact they finish together change the nature of the situation and suddenly they're obligated to bench together? Why can't, I mean, you could say like this, you know, why should you, if you could do the good thing, the right thing, why should you not do the right, you could say whatever you want to say, but we're talking here about a chiyuv. Okay, it's no longer a matter of, well, you might as well hang around. You could say that in the middle of the meal too. The person wants to finish, and the other people say, well, wait 5 minutes, we'll all bench together, that's fine, but that's choice. Here, Tos is saying that the situation suddenly shifts, it changes, and a chiyuv is created. So how does that work? That's the question. How does a optional situation become converted into a mandatory situation vis-a-vis Zimun? Someone's mentioning an idea which sounds similar to the concept of Miyos Tov al Tikrei Ra. That a person has a chance to do the good thing, and Badafki, for no reason, he walks away from it. Even though, halachically, he doesn't have to. There is such a concept. For example, by the sugya of Holchei Drachim. Osek v'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah in terms of sukkah. So there's a big machlokas there. Rashi, Tosis, and the Ran. But the Gemara mentions Holchei Drachim, people who are traveling towards the mitzvah. So they're patam from sukkah. Both by day and both by night. Because they're considered to be Osek v'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. So that would mean that even in a situation where a person comes to town, he's staying for the night, he doesn't have to look for a sukkah. But the Ran mentions that if there's absolutely no tircha whatsoever, that there's a sukkah available right where he's staying, let us say, and it wouldn't detract from the performance of the mitzvah, the mission that he's on, in any way. So even though he's patur, technically speaking, he's patur, but he should sleep in the sukkah, or eat in the sukkah, sleep in the sukkah, because miyos tov al tikrei ra. Which means that in a situation where your failure to do so is simply a negation of the whole institution of the mitzvah, so that it's a separate type of a machayev. It's not really that he has a chi of sukkah, it's a separate type of machayev with regard to mitzvahs in general. A person's attitude, his stance towards the asiyas of mitzvahs. That's not what Tosfos is talking about over here. Tosfos is not saying that since you finish together and there's no difference to you whether you bench this way or that way, so for you to bedafka choose to bench b'yachidus would be a disparagement of the mitzvah. Now, while that is true, and Rabbi Bor is mentioning that point, while that is true, if you're in a situation like that where you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah and you bedafka walk away, you could daven b'tzibur and you bedafka put yourself into a situation of b'yachidus, that's a disparagement. But that's not what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is saying more than that, that it's not because of that factor. He's saying it's an actual, direct chi of Zimun itself. And trying to elucidate the idea of Tosfos is that Tosfos is saying that three people that simply happen to be eating together doesn't mean that they're mitzuraf in terms of the suda. There has to be a tziruf to the suda, to the kviyas suda. So therefore, that's established in two ways. What is it that relates the three of them to this particular kviyas? So one is, of course, the kviyas suda itself. But there are two points within the suda where it reflects upon the suda. The activity you're doing reflects upon the suda. One is, of course, the kviyas. And then you have the in-between part. You're eating, and that's just eating together. But then you have something else, the Gemara. The Gemara Suda is where, that's it. It's another point within the activity of eating that has a definitive impact upon the emergence of the Suda. There's the Aschol, and then there's the Gemara. When you're going with the Suda, so that's it. Now it's a complete unit. It's an activity which reflects not just an act of eating, but on the very entity of the Suda itself. I'm just using a rough analogy with regard to the Rambam Shita. There are two points within the Shabbos, for example, which evoke within us an obligation to demonstrate Kavod HaShabbos. The Haschalah Shabbos has to be with Kiddush, but then there's the Gemara. That is to say, the end of Shabbos is not just a descriptive thing, that the last minutes of Shabbos are no different than all the minutes. No, this is the Gemara. There's a specific idea to the conclusion of the Shabbos. And now what emerges is an entire entity of Shabbos, so the conclusion is one in which you have to reflect upon the whole entity. That's why in the middle of Shabbos you don't do Havdalah, you do Havdalah at the end. And that's why the Ram holds that Havdalah is the Oraisa. Other Rishonim hold that Havdalah is the Rabbana. But apparently the Rambam clearly, not apparently, obviously holds, he says openly that it's the Oraisa because it's subsumed under the whole idea of kibud, to be mechavid yom, and the kibud yom has to express itself in two points, when it arrives and when it departs. Now, that's a rough analogy, and I'm not saying that this, I'm just using it by way of illustration. But this is what Tosa seems to be saying, that the tziruf of the three people who eat together, the mere fact that three people happen to be eating together, does not necessarily mean that they are united. There's got to be something which is mitzarif them in terms of the suda. So since we recognize that the suda has two distinct points to it, the beginning, and then there's an end, there's a gemar. So if you gomer the suda together, that recreates a unity. That reflects the fact that you're unified with regard to the actual hefta shel suda itself. But other than that, in between, then it's undifferentiated. So then that doesn't reflect the tziruf with regard to the suda. You just happen to, you're eating, he's eating, and the other person's eating, but you're not necessarily connected vis-a-vis the suda. Tosis is saying over here that there are two points at which kviyas can be established, given the nature of a suda. There is such a thing as the haschalas hasula, which is the hasuda, which is the kviyas, and then there's the gemar suda. And the gemar suda is mitzarif. And of course, creates the chiyav in terms of birkas hamazon. So, an additional idea in conjunction with this is that, practically speaking, gemar suda is mechayev in birkas hamazon. Of course, the suda per se, but I mean in terms of the efficient cause, so to speak. Well, once you go into the suda, you have a chiyav to bench. You're not supposed to wait. So that's an additional element that they were united in terms of the gemar suda. So the chiyav of birkas hamazon descends upon them simultaneously. So that could be an additional factor in the chiyav that therefore Yechayev and Birkas HaMazon together, so that's a Matzarif you, as well. According to Tosfos, again, you're dealing with Kviyas Suda, but you have to have the Tziruf of Shlosha with regard to the Kviyas of Suda. So what was lacking until now is that there was nothing that was Matzarif them, because they didn't start together. So it was independent, achilos, until the Gemar Suda. The Gemar Suda, to be Gomer the Suda together, that is a Matarif. To join together for the purpose of Gemar Suda is a Matarif. That's what Tosis is saying. We're moving on now. It's not necessary at this point to go through every particular case in the Mishnah. You should have a general sense of the Mishnah. You should go through it in terms of the plain pshat. But when you study the Gemara, you'll see that each one of these cases constitutes some type of a chiddush. You have the general idea in the Mishnah. The general idea in the Mishnah is it lists foods. It lists certain foods over which... See, now the issue of foods comes into the picture. Three people ate together. Does it matter what they ate and the character, the halachic character of the food, whether it's completely permitted or not permitted, and so forth? So now the Mishnah brings up foods such as damai, and the Gemara will explain. It was food that was purchased from an Am Haaretz, and there was a certain amount of suffix as to whether the proper trumos and maestros had been taken from it. So basically the rule is that you're not supposed to eat that food until you give the trumos and maisers to cover the possibility that they weren't already done. Then you have maiser rishon shenitla trumoso. Maiser rishon, that is the tithe that was given to the Levi, and the Levi has to give truma from that to the Kohen. Then you have maiser sheni vehegde sheniftu. Maiser sheni, which is... it's a tithe that you set aside, but it's not given to anyone. It belongs to the owner, but it has a certain kedusha. The kedusha is that it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Then you have Shamei She'achal Kazayas, the waiter who ate a Kazayas, Vakuti, and the Kuti, which is a Gentile, Mazamnen Olav. These are cases in which you can include that if one person ate these foods, well, one of them is the Shamesh, the Kusi. So these are cases in which you can have Zimun. But then it lists cases where you can't have Zimun. They all seem to have one thing in common, that they're prohibited in Achila. So you have Tevel. Tevel is food before the Truma was given. It's Asur to eat it. Maisa Shein Arishon Shelo Nitlo Trumaso. Maisa Shein Vehegda Shelo Niftu. These are foods which are the designated for Hegdish or designated to be eaten in Yerushalayim. They are subject to Pidyon. They can be redeemed and then eaten, but here they have not been redeemed. Or the Shamash that ate less than the Kazayas. Or the Nachri, Ein Vizaman in the Love. Then it takes up the issue of Nashim Avadim Ketanim. Let's leave that aside for the time being. But the basic idea, though, that emerges with regard to the foods is that where you're eating foods that are permitted in Achila, of course the Gemara is going to raise kinds of questions, Pshita, when you have the first listing, foods that are permitted, like Maisa Shein and Hegdash HaNiftu. If it was redeemed, so it's a Mutter Bachila. So what does that have to be mentioned over here? That's the question of the Gemara. The Gemara will take it up. It's a special case containing a Chiddush. That's not our purpose right now. When we get to the Gemara, we'll take up these cases. But the general idea is that foods that are permitted in Achila, obviously, Chayev and Lazamin Aleim. That's not a Chiddush. The Chiddush, however, is with regard to foods that are not permitted to be eaten. That is, if one of the participants, let's say we're dealing with three, and one of them ate these foods. So then, Ein Mezamnen cannot be included in the Zimun. That's the general idea of the Mishnah. Okay? Of course, it's not so pashut. Why not? This raises questions. Lots of questions. Is a person, when he eats these foods, is a person obligated in making a bracha, even though the foods are prohibited? And if so, if the person is obligated in making a bracha, what about Berkas HaMazon? Is he obligated in Berkas HaMazon? If he's obligated in Berkas HaMazon, so why can't you join him? I mean, let's make a differentiation. Obviously, there's an avera in eating these foods, but let's not compound it by not making a bracha, and so on. This is the issue that emerges here. All right, so it says, Achal Tevel, Ein Mezamen Olav. The Mishnah says, if he ate Tevel, you can't include him in the Zimun. Tema. So Tosis raised the question. Diyama Be'erchen, we learned in Erchen, Hakol Mitzdarfin, L'Zimun. All joined together for Zimun. Kohanim, Levium, V'Yisraelim. Kohanim, Levium, and Yisraelim. Of course, that seems pashut. Why shouldn't they? Uparach Pshita. And of course, the Gemara says, that's obvious. U'mashani lo tzricha. The Gemara says, no, it's necessary to teach us that. Afalgav, the Kohen Ochel Truma. V'Yisrael Chulin, even though the Kohen is eating Truma, and the Jew, the Israel is eating Chulin. So on the basis of that, Tosis asks a question. Alma, thus we can deduce, Afal gav the truma asur li Yisrael. That's the point. That a food is being eaten, that's asur to the Israel. Even though the truma is asur to the Israel, they're still tziruf. Why? Acharei shakoin yachol letzarif im Yisrael lechal b'chulin. Since the Kohen can join together with the Israel to eat chulin, Mitzdarfin Lazimun. So that's very, very interesting. So you can have a situation where one person is eating that which is forbidden to the others. Does that disqualify Tziruf? So the Gemara is telling you that no, because as long as one person, as long as that person can eat the other food, so you don't require that it has to work both ways. You don't require that the Israel should be able to eat what the Kohen is eating. That itself is not a disqualification in Tziruf. As long as the Kohen can eat that which the Israel is eating, so that he can eat chulin. So that's sufficient. So then there's Tziruf. Now, it doesn't really matter whether in point of fact he actually does eat it or doesn't eat it. The fact that he can means that he's not separated from them, and there's a Tziruf. It's considered to be Achila. They're eating together. So Vahachanami Tosa says, Nihi dechad minayu achal tevel. True, one of them ate tevel. The ain roy lacherim, which is not fit for the others. Amai ain on mezamnin. Why aren't they mezamin? That is to say, One person ate tevel, and two other people were eating regular food, kosher food. So the Mishnah is telling us that they're not Masarif Zimun. Ostensibly, that's because he's eating tevel. So that separates him. There's no tzirif over here. But one second, there should be tzirif on the basis of the fact that he can be eating their food. And if you have a situation where two can't eat the food of one, but that one can eat the food of the others, so that qualifies for Zimun. That's the case of Cohen who's eating Truma. So if that's the case, Tosus asks, so why should Zimun be eliminated on the basis of the fact that one of the people is eating Tevel? True, the others can't partake of his food, but he can partake of that food, and that should be sufficient to establish the Tzirif of Zimun. So Tosus answers, V'yesh Lomar, the Achilas Tevel, Lav Shmo Achila. The eating of Tevel is not considered eating. That's interesting. Maybe it's not considered eating. But it's a violation. Telochazia, aflakoin. It's not suitable. It's not fit. Not permitted even for a kohen. Aval truma, v'chalapachos, ru'uya, l'kohen, ha'ochla. However, truma, at least, is fit for the kohen who eats it. V'hu adin, im ochlu shloshtan tevel. And the same would be true if the three of them ate tevel. The ein chayavin lezamein, that they're not chayiv in zimun. Kedi amrinan, as we learned in Baba Kama daf tzadik dalid, hareisha gozal soa chitin, v'tachan aviyafa v'yachla. One who stole a saw of wheat and ground it and baked it and ate it. Umavarach alayhen, and he makes the bracha of hamotzi. Eino mavarach elamanites. This is not a bracha, but it's rather the opposite. It's a blaspheme, so to speak. So that's very interesting. What is he saying over here? See, the answer of Tosus is bringing in a big point. He's not trying to make any differentiation with regard to that point that by a Kohen, he can eat from him, he can eat from him. He's saying here it's a completely different point. It's like it's lav shma achila. You can't make a bracha. Then he says that even if three people ate tevel together, ain't mezamnim, because there's no achila. Beyond that there's no achila, what's the significance that it's not achila? I mean, that has to be taken in the proper context. Obviously, if a person ate tevel on Yom Kippur, he'd be chayav kares, I would imagine. You're not going to say it's not achila. So what does he mean? That's something one has to ask. Why is Tosus using such strong language? What does he mean that it's not achila? As I've just pointed out, it has to be achila. First of all, the yisr itself is an yisr achila. Moreover, as I said, if you eat it on Yom Kippur, it's clearly going to be chayav kares, that's achila. So what does that mean that it's not achila? Then he proceeds, however, to say that it's equivalent to the case of a person who stole wheat, ground it, baked bread, and makes a bracha. This is not blessing God. This is, so to speak, blasphemy. And that seems to be the point of Tosfos. So the fact you have three people, one of them is eating tevel, the fact that the one who's eating tevel can partake of the food of the others is not enough, and it has nothing to do with the issue of truma. Because if the third person, is eating something which is permitted to him, it's just that it's prohibited to the other two, that's not a breach in the tziruf of shlosha. Because all you do need for that, is that they can eat his food. They can eat his food. However, with regard to the issue of tevel and the other foods that are mentioned in the Mishnah as prohibited, there the problem is a completely different problem, because that's not considered achila, and no bracha is warranted whatsoever. So, well, they're not eating. If you're not eating, you don't have three people eating together. We just look at party number three, the one who's eating the prohibited foods, he's not eating. And we said, shlosh shachlu, right? Kiyachad. So the first requirement is that they be eating. But here they're not eating. That's what Tosfos is saying over here. Continuing now in the Tosfos, Mikanai Omer Rabbeinu Yehuda. On the basis of this, Rabbi Yehuda would say, the Shlosha Shachlu, three people ate together. V'yo echad haya mudar hana min hashnayim. That's a case where a person has a neder, by a neder not to derive hana from somebody else's possession or from somebody else's food. A person can make such a neder, or the other person can actually make that neder. So if one person was mudar hana min hashnayim, he's eating together with two people from whose food he cannot eat. Vu ochel mishalo. And he's eating his own food. So the question is, can they be mitzari for Zeman, the three of them? The answer is that, according to the idea that he said before, the precedent of Cohen with Truma, that there is tziruf because the Kohen can eat the food of the Yisraelim. So Rav Yehuda would say the same thing over here, that even though he can't eat the food of the other two, but they could eat his food. Let's just finish the Tosfos. He says, Yachal et starf imar and lezimun. He can join them together for zimun. Dinehi di eno roi lechol imahem. Because while it is true that he can't eat with them, he can't eat their food, hemer uyim lechol imah. They are fit to eat with him. And the same is true with those who are careful not to eat pashal nachri. Aval im shloshdan mudarin hano zemizeh eim mitzdarfin. Now this last point is very, very interesting, because on the basis of everything that's being said and what's being led up to, you can envision a case when three people eating kosher food here. Three people eating perfectly kosher food would not be able to have Zimun. Because the next case is, what about three people who are mudar hana zumizu? That is to say, you have three people who are under a vow, now each one can't have hana from the others. So they're all eating their own food. So, do you have Zimun? So, he says, ain't mitzdarfin. That's the conclusion. They're not mitzdarif. They don't join together. Okay. So, there's two things we have to understand. First of all, why don't they join together? Now, the answer he gave to the other... One second. The answer he gave to the other case... The case of Tevel is different. That's a different answer, because he seems to be saying this Lav Shema Achila. Seems anyway to be a different answer. Lav Shema Achila. You can't say this over here, though. Lav Shema Achila. And you can't say Einzem Arach Elamanites over here, because each person is eating kosher food, perfectly kosher food. Just that he can't eat from the other person's food because of something else, accidental. It's not that the food is trade food. It's just that he has a neder not to derive hana from the other person's food. So we have to understand why that is a problem. Now, I know that it's been mentioned before with regard to the Kohen, and Tosis introduced us to the yard that he could eat from his food, but we didn't really explain why that's so. What's the significance of that? Well, why is it necessary if three people are eating together? Now, I can understand, we're dealing with two problems, two issues emerge in this Tosis. I can understand where you're talking about forbidden foods, where is that considered achila for this purpose? Or are you chayavin a bracha altogether? That's a different concept. But here, it's clearly achila. What each person is doing is clearly achila. So you have three people that are clearly engaged in a legitimate act of achila. But now you're going to say that they don't have zimun because they can't eat from each other. But why should they? There is no requirement in such a situation that they actually do have to eat from each other in the first place. No one is saying that. We're merely saying that, Tosis is merely saying that at least it has to be roy to eat from each other.
No, he said by
Tosis. The Tosis says, Afapishi Lishol al Nidram. The Tosis here raises a Havamina. That even though it's possible for them to remove the Neder, You could be a Matin Adarim. So you might think that since, from a potentially speaking, it is Roy to eat, because they can remove the neder, that's not sufficient. Because he says, Hashtamiya lo achilu. As yet, at this point in time, they have not removed it. Okay, so that's an additional point. It's a Havamina Maskara. All right, that's not really the essential point of Tosas. That's a point that comes into the picture, because Tosas had to construct a case where you'd have three people eating together, each one eating kosher food, and they still couldn't have Zeman because of this factor. So having brought that in, he mentioned that don't think in your mind that because it should be okay, because really they are fit to eat, because they could be matin, and he's saying that's not sufficient. All right. For tomorrow, we'll analyze the Tosfos in conjunction with the Rambam, which is at the end of the first parak in Hilchos Brachos. There's a Machlokas Rambam Varaivad there. Further point with regard to the language of Tosfos here. When Tosfos raises the question with the Tevel, people who eat Tevel, he says, V'hu adin im achlu shlashton Tevel. The same is true if the three of them ate Tevel. The yin chayavin l'zamein. That they're not chayav to l'zamein. First of all, the question was raised, I didn't have time, that why does he mention three? He's already told you that you don't include one. Why did he mention even three at all? And what does he mean by ein chayav in lezamein? Does it mean that just that they're not mechuyev, but that they can if they want? It seems, just generally, that you might think that the problem is where two people are eating kosher and one person is eating tevel, which is treif. I'm just using the expression treif. So there's no tziruf between them, because the two who are eating kosher have separated themselves from the one who's eating treif. They're separate. But if three people are eating treif, even though they're not supposed to be doing it, but since they're all doing the same thing, so that would be a tziruf of achila. So you have to bring some other. Now, so he wants to say, on the basis of his idea, the problem of tevel is not a problem in tziruf. It's a problem in the fact that it's lacking in achila, so then even if three people ate together, it's not going to work. So he says, ein chayav en lezamein, but I think over here he simply means, ein chayav en lezamein means that there's no zeman altogether. Not that it would be difficult to imagine that they would have any kind of a reshus to be mezamein. As you will see, hold off on this question until you see the Machlokas Rambam and Raivad, and then come back and see where Tosis fits in, and you'll be able to answer your question more specifically.